Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, 1 Kings chapter 16. Then the word of the Lord, that's just jumping right in, isn't it? 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Forasmuch as I exalted thee out of the dust, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and has made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha, and the posterity of his house, and I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him, and he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinsfolks nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now, the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, "Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king." Wherefore all Israel made Omri, captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and burnt the king's house over him with fire, and he died for his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri, and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginat, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginat. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Etbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger, more than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have, first of all, the reign of Baasha described, and that is verses 1 through 14. First of all, note that the Lord sent a prophet to Baasha, Jehu. That's a wondrous mercy, that the Lord would send a prophet to the king that he might hear the word of the Lord and have an opportunity to repent. But he did not. And so he was taken away. His son Elah was a drunk and was killed by Zimri. And so notice that we have this new way of coming to the throne in Israel that we did not have before in Judah. In Judah, we have a dynasty. In Israel, whoever can assassinate the king can become king. So we have, I don't know, the Wild Wild West plus, if you will. Certainly a group of men that are completely lawless in their understanding. And let us also take note that once we turn away from the Lord with regard to how we worship Him, how we obey Him, and how we serve Him, we cannot help but spill that over into our civil estates, such that we will see a great decline civilly from an irreligious people. There's just no way to get around that. Once we throw off the absolute standards that our God has prescribed to us, and the rule and reign that He has over us, once we deny that and begin to worship four-footed beasts and whatever it is that we desire, we will not only worship what we will desire, we will do whatever we desire. And so, as John Adams said, who was not a bastion of theological accuracy, by the way, but he did say a couple of wise things. One of them was, there are no laws made that can govern any religious people. Well, I think that's pretty well said. So this irreligious royalty, the irreligious nobility in the northern kingdom, we see them really nothing more than a group of assassins vying for power. So then Zimri takes hold of Elah and kills him. Elah was a wicked man. Zimri turned out to be the sword of the Lord upon him. And yet Zimri's actions were as unjust as those before him. And so he rises up. And did you notice the wondrous length of his reign? 7 days. the Lord gave him 7 days. And in those 7 days, then, Omri rose up against Zimri and slew Zimri, and so on. And so then after Zimri was dead, notice, and it's almost as if the prophet here is tired of talking about people being assassinated. It says, well, then there were two parties. There was the party of Tibni and the party of Omri, and they rose up, and the party of Omri was stronger than the party of Tibni, and so Tibni died too. On we go. Right? And so there's death, destruction, murder, and assassination in the highest echelons of authority in Israel. And note how quickly this has transpired. We are still in the reign of Asa, who is, what, third in line after Solomon. So things have degenerated very, very quickly. Now, the household of Omri forms itself into a dynasty. Of course, this is the providence of the Lord, no doubt. And there are some that have wondered out loud whether or not the dynasty of Omri was indeed continued in Ahab, because even Ahab himself had a moment where he drew back from his sin and went softly. And the Lord said, I'm going to give him more years because he has gone softly when he was threatened. There was indeed some grief over his sins. Let's not mistake that for saving faith. But let us also see that the Lord would use Ahab as an example of his own mercy to any who would hear the impending judgment of the Lord for our sins and we turn to the Lord in repentance. And so Ahab is an example of that. But the household of Omri now rises up as a multi-generational dynasty, not for good. And so we have then this dynasty terminating on the reign, at least in this chapter, of Ahab. In the next chapter, we're going to introduce one of our heroes. Right? Who comes next? Elijah. Elijah is going to confront the wickedness of the northern kingdom. Not in this chapter yet, however. Okay, so king after king after king is said doing something. What is that? Following the sins of Jeroboam. And what was the sin of Jeroboam? Let's remember, let's remind ourselves. He said, no, you don't need to travel all the way down there to where God has said He'd place His name. Let's set up an alternate worship here, because I don't want you, through loyalty that you might have down there, to rise up and kill me up here. Now, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago when Jeroboam said that, and we said what a silly thing that was for him to say, because he had a promise of the Lord upon him that if he walked in the ways of David, his kingdom would be established. He had nothing to fear by letting the people travel south, in other words. But he made up an emergency and so that he could aggrandize his own authority and power up more. And so the Lord took him away and all his. Took away Baasha and all his for the same sins, and now took away Zimri for his rebellion against the lawful king Elah, although he was a wicked man, and you can see how confused the morality of some might be in that day. And now Omri rises up, and he does the same thing that Jeroboam does. He continues on that false worship of what he would call the true God, although we learned earlier that those are really vanities and not God at all. And then Ahab comes on the scene, and we have something new introduced with Ahab. With Ahab, we hear that he does something that none of the kings of the northern kingdom in Israel dared to do before him. And that is that he married Jezebel, the son of Ethbaal, and brought her into Israel as the queen. And he brought her worship also with her, such that after the hill of Samaria was purchased and made the capital of the northern kingdom, Ahab built an altar and a house to Baal at the top of Mount Samaria, and they began to worship Baal in the northern kingdom. And so notice once again how quickly things have fallen. Once we rule out the regulated worship of God and the principle by which we worship Him, things fall very quickly into some kind of idolatry. And so then we end up either worshiping the true God by false means, or we go as far as Ahab has gone and we begin worshiping a God of our own imagining. And so the chapter ends then with Ahab's altar, house, and grove that he built unto Baal. Did you notice what Jezebel's father's name was? Et Baal. The Hebrew for Et Baal, really, the word Baal means master or ascendant one. Et Baal means the master. And so Jezebel's father had in his name, built in to him in his name, that Baal was the master of the universe. That's the house Jezebel was raised in. And now she is in the house of Ahab. And Ahab is taking his cues and clues for the worship of Ethbaal, the Baal, the master, from his wife. And that's where we're going at this point. All right, so thus ends the reading of 1 Kings chapter 16. Let's stand.